www.themouthmagazine.com.
You're listening to The Mouthcast, and my guest on this edition is making his hat-trick appearance. Legendary, low-slinging, king of the bottom end, definitely the toughest man in this room, Mr. Peter Hook. Welcome.
Thank you.
Peter, a pleasure to talk again. It's been a year since we recorded our last annual podcast together. Delighted to say that we're talking just a couple of days after the publication of your third book, Substance, your story of New Order.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to jump right in at the deep end here because I think, I think this is important to address. It's a very visceral book. It's a book that's going to leave people who read it with a wide variety of emotions. There's a lot of laughter, there's sadness, joy, bit of anger.
It's a lot like life,
well.
Isn't it, really?
Yeah. And there's your relationship with Caroline. In the past couple of days, what you've written in the book has been trolled out in some tabloids, and I wanted to talk about that because the last time we spoke, a year ago, the book was more or less written. And I think it's important to note that what is said about Caroline in the book is in no way capitalising on her recent death.
No, without a doubt. I mean, the thing is that it's 15 pages in, 750. So I've not really made a meal of it, I suppose you'd have to say. But it was a very important period in my life. And I think the thing I wanted to show is that you can suffer from that, get through it, move on, and in many ways I'd much more prefer to talk about my successful marriage of 20 years, which shows what can be achieved when two people love and respect each other. So there are many aspects to it. I know the thing is that it was a difficult decision to put it in, but the main thing was that this is a story about my life, and if I didn't tell the truth, I think you'd soon get found out. I didn't want to lie. I saw that in Bernard's book, and it wasn't very pretty. So, I was very careful to make sure that I told the truth, and that is the truth. It was quite interesting to see Ricky Tomlinson mouthing off today about it, and really I've only got one thing to say to Ricky Tomlinson, which is, my ass. So, the thing is that she was a national treasure, as he says, but nobody knows what goes on behind closed doors. And I think that, again, he's made the terrible mistake of intimating that you're somehow will be thought of as less of a man because you've stood up and talked about it. You know, when you're going through something like that, it's very difficult because you're eager for help and you're eager for a way out. I thought it was important to show that you can surpass it. And I was very moved, actually, this week when a young lady came and asked me for help because she'd read about me in the Mail. So the thing is that you do try and do your best to help and inspire people to show that there is a world past it and it's not correct behaviour, and it's, even though it's historic, I don't think it's any less important in your life.
It was sensational, but I don't think you sensationalised what happened.
I didn't sell my story at the time.
No.
Even though I got offered a fortune, I didn't sell my story, and I won't be selling my story this time because it remains in the context of the book. In the context of my life, it's not all of my life. It's a very small part of it. And I think in an odd way, the tabloids have proved again what they specialise in by ignoring many other aspects of your life. Yeah.
There's that old saying, don't speak ill of the dead. And again, I think it's important to note that at the beginning of the book, there is a list of dedications and RIPs and Carolines in there. So obviously...
Yeah, the book was 3 years... in the writing, and the chapter on Caroline has always been there. So it's not, it's very difficult. And I do appreciate that people who knew her in a different way, So they're speaking in ignorance.
And it was the chemistry, wasn't it?
You have to be very careful.
Your chemistry with her was perhaps different to other people's chemistry with her.
Without a doubt, yes.
Because I've been thinking about the idea of, let's say, destructive relationships, and... they're incredibly exciting, they can be all-consuming, but there does come a point where enough is enough. And in some ways, I felt that your relationship with Bernard was like an extremely extended 12-inch remix of what happened with Caroline instead of condensed into that 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, it was milder,
yeah,
shall we say. Yeah. And I suppose you do have to be careful what you say here, otherwise the tabloids, I'll be saying, I mean, you know, accusing Bernard of abuse. And yeah, I think, you know, people are allowed to make their own minds up of it. In his book, I suppose, in a funny way, if you're going to be flippant about it, then he accuses me of abuse. It's the same thing. But it's a working relationship, you see. The odd thing in the book is that you go through two friend. We were business associates. By the end of Joy Division, we'd become more or less business associates.
But you did.
Very tied together.
Yeah, but you did.
Very, you know, you were...
You did begin as friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah, very, very much so. We were very, very close friends at the start. But maybe that's the truth, that, you know, you should never work with people you love. Yeah, and the thing is, it's the most obvious thing, like in the top 10 when you start, 10 things you should do when you form a band. But you do have to bear in mind, I suppose, that they may end up not being your friends, because working is completely different to going out for a pint down the pub.
Standing outside New Order, or what we both actually consider to be New Order, which is everything up to...
Well, very kind of you to say.
Yeah.
I think that's the truth too.
Yeah, looking back at that stuff, I guess it's hard for you because you can probably hear all of the differences of opinion with Bernard and the difficulties in the studio over control of this thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is that it is a battle, and being in a group is... a compromise,
yeah,
because you have to make it work. My intention and my appreciation of a group is making sure that the people are valued and, you know, work. It's like, you wouldn't have the Magnificent Seven, would you, and then go, well, could you just hang behind a bit, you know what I mean, I'm not too sure about your outfit, or you know, so us six will go forward, and then you just that isn't the Magnificent Seven, is it? It's, yeah, it was an odd, and as I said in the book, I think that Bernard, his priority was always the song, whereas my priority was always the group. Now, you can read from that what you will, and if people are going to go, oh, well, the songs are great, and so Bernard was right, or whatever, you know, I mean, it was a compromise, and I hate to say it, but towards the end, Bernard seemed to think that compromise was the thing that everybody else did.
Okay.
So, you know, and it's just the way people change over the years. You can't alter that relationships change, and people's attitudes change, but this is a chronicle of it, because in groups, I don't know if you've noticed, people tend to sugarcoat everything when they're talking about it.
Yeah.
And it's like a bit of a pantomime, really, and you don't get many of them telling the truth.
Well, that's one of the things about all three of your books that I think is incredibly dignified, really, is that you are so honest.
Yeah, I mean, it's yeah. Yeah, I don't see any point in not being honest. It doesn't make sense to me to work at something and then to not tell the truth. And to be honest with you, it used to break my heart when people used to interview you and go, oh, what was it like in the studio making Waiting for the Sirens Call? And you'd be like, oh, man, you know, to be honest with you, it was shit. But you can't say that. You'd say, oh, yes, it was a very good working relationship. And it just eats you up inside. And I'm sure most people in groups that have to live the fairy tale, you know, bloody hell, from Girls Aloud to One Direction, if you want to be, you know, there's obviously was something wrong quite quickly. It's difficult. And I didn't want to be the one, you know, to shout out at the pantomime, you know, there's no one behind you. You know, it was a difficult decision to make. But what happened in 2011 when the others came back is that they tried to wipe you out from history and tried to pretend that, oh, no, it's great in New Order, now he's gone, which I know is absolute crap. New Order's just exactly the bloody same. In fact, it's worse, if anything, because there's not someone there going, hey, hang on a minute. You know, it's more of a probably a yes men than they were before. So the thing is that, yeah, you're in a funny position, but it is a story. And the thing is that the truth does need to be told. And what they did to me in 2011 was disgusting. And it needs chronicling, and people need to tell, because the fans are in charge. Whether you like it or not, they are. And I don't think they deserve treating with dishonesty. And that's my opinion.
The honesty of your books I'm not saying Bernard's book wasn't honest, but I found it very thin on the ground, actually, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I think that the one of the saddest things I've ever read was his 100 pages on New Order.
It's a bit like the Morrissey book, actually, isn't it? Where the Smiths
I've not read Morrissey.
40 pages.
Yeah. I mean, it's odd because it's funny how you get annoyed, because I remember reading the Talking Heads book by the singer, what's he called?
Oh, yeah, David Byrne's book.
David Byrne's book, yeah. And I was actually quite enjoying it, and then I noticed that he never mentioned the Talking Heads, which I was a great fan of.
Mm.
And I read into it a little bit and found out it had a massive row with thing, and I just thought, oh God, they're all the bloody same. You know, because his was quite airy-fairy.
Yeah.
Quite interesting for it, actually, but once I found that out, I couldn't take it seriously. I just thought Bernard not only did New Order a great disservice, I thought he did himself a great disservice.
He possibly did. Yeah.
I enjoyed the early years, but he ruined it with that, and I think his intention, unless I'm very, very much mistaken, was more or less to denigrate me.
Mm.
And to denigrate me before I got to the point where I could denigrate him.
Although you do talk a lot about Bernard in your books.
He's very important to New Order. Yeah. He's and one of the stars.
The difficulty of working together and the difficulties in your relationship, I don't really feel that it's sour grapes, for want of a better way of putting it. But there is this element, you're both going to get to the end and think, fuck, that's 20 years we could have been mates, wasted.
Yeah, I mean, they've, you know,
and
they've
I
wasted.
Get the feeling that is what hurts you the most, that you know that.
Well, I mean, I've got the, is it now, it's 10 years since we, you know, split up.
Mm.
And it hasn't got any better. If anything, it's got worse, you know. I mean, I was in court on Wednesday. In my fight against them for what they did. You know, there's no light at the end of the tunnel yet.
So that's ongoing,
it's very much ongoing, and it's been going for 5 years.
Mm.
And, you know, they've never felt or said that what they did was wrong.
Time and again in the book, there's this sort of wrestling match, creative wrestling match, if you like. Actually, on the way here, driving here today to meet you, I was listening to Age of Consent, which I think is probably New Order's finest moment. There's this sort of tension in it, a push-pull, that for me really signals yours and Bernard's relationship. And in fact, that was an extremely important part of how New Order worked, that tension.
I thought so, yeah. Mm. I suppose you'd have to. I mean, the interesting thing, which I think is that it's going to make New Order interviews much more interesting. Now this book is out, so it'll be great to see how they handle that, actually.
Have you had any word back on how it was on how it's been received by the New Order?
I've not had any legal letters yet.
Right.
I'm expecting a flurry, shall we say. But no.
Mm.
No. I can imagine myself, actually. But hey, listen, if you're going to put your hand in the fire and you're going to do what they did and stick by your guns, then you're going to have to expect... What do they say? People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones.
Hmm.
I suppose it's true, isn't it? You know,
it's consequences.
Everyone's allowed their opinion. Barney's done his book. He's had his opinion. Steve Morris is doing his book with his opinion in it. And so Gillian's book presumably will be coming out very soon, you know. Watch this space, I suppose you'd have to say.
So your absence from that album, the Music Complete album, and I'm treading very carefully, I think it's a great record, I have to be honest, but it feels like Bernard and his band have put out an album under the name New Order, which I'm not so keen on. I don't particularly like that idea, but as I say, I do think it's a great record. Almost rounding up several sort of classic New Order sounds. But there was most definitely something missing, and that was that tension. So
yeah, I mean,
I know you've listened to that record.
I wouldn't classify it as a great record. You know, I wouldn't put it alongside Technique.
Mm.
I wouldn't put it aside Unknown Pleasures, Closer, Power, Corruption and Lies. I think it's good. I think maybe, if we're going to be brutally honest, I think it would have been great if I'd have been on it. So maybe
you're always going to say that, but I think you're right.
Yeah, but you know, it's a weird one, really. I've watched them desperately try to play down everything that I did, not only legally, but actually in the way they talk about the group.
Mm.
And it's very disrespectful, really, to someone who was there for 31 years and went through a lot of shit for their shortcomings. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the thing is that if anybody's put in that position, it is a terrible position to be put in, and it wasn't deserved.
Mm.
You know, I mean, they might have had a few gripes and a few beefs with me, but to then steal the group from you and then try and play down your part in the group is very, very dodgy ground. Especially when you have the right to answer.
Yeah,
so you've got to be careful.
Did you ever feel there was a chance that you could get around the table and talk it out?
There's always a chance you can get around the table, but I'm in my opinion, they've refused for 5 years to get around the table. It could easily have been sorted out, and we probably wouldn't have had such happy, well-fed lawyers as we have now if we'd have had the brains to sort it out. You do think that there's a grown-up missing in the playground. So there you go. But, you know, that's the trouble is it's there, and it's still there.
Do you feel it's past the point of repair?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, Yes, yes.
I don't mean the group, I mean the friendship.
No, yes, definitely. I mean, there's just no, I can't see there's any way back.
Mm.
I think that from a business point of view, it should be solved. And I think that because none of us need this in our lives, especially at our age, and I think you've got too much good in your life to be putting up with this, I think someone with a bit of brains should say, right, we're going to sit down, we're going to sort it out. No one's leaving this room until this is done.
Mm.
You know, and we'll come out of here both unhappy, but at least we can get on with our lives. That would be the sensible thing to do.
Do you feel that sort of the legacy of New Order, if you like, is demeaned by...
Yeah, I do actually. And I think it's been terrible. I think they've dragged the heritage not only of Joy Division, and I think they've dragged the heritage of the Hacienda factory and New Order through the mud with it.
And all of the people associated with it as well.
And the kids, if you like, who always suffer the most, who, because they're torn, the fans and the journalists. Everyone suffers from it. It's not big, it's not clever. No one needs this crap, but, you know, groups are very good at it. If you're going to look at sections of society that argue like this in particular and let pride and ego go beyond the realms of sense, I think groups are renowned for it.
They're almost top of the list.
I think they are top of the list. And I was amazed when I came to research and when I came to fight how many groups had fallen out, because there was a lot more than I thought. I was looking at the list. Oh my God, them, oh no, not them. Oh God, you know, it was heartbreaking, it really was. I actually had my heart broken more by looking at the bloody list.
Well, to round up, Peter, there's also this sense in your three books that you look forwards and you move forwards when there have been deaths, for instance, or crises, and there have been a lot of crises, particularly in the career of New Order. You kind of batten down the hatches and get on with it. But I also got the feeling from the three times that we've spoken as well that you're actually, despite the muscles and the toughness, you're actually a really sensitive sort of person, and that the books, it's not some sort of ego exercise at all.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. It was never meant as any kind of ego exercise, actually, and to peel back your skin and let people peer in is tough, and you do have to be careful. And as I said to you before, you know, I agonized over many parts of this book in particular, and I knew this book was always going to be the worst, by far, with my wife and my family, to see whether it should be done. And we came to the agreement that it should be done, that it was important. And I do think it's important to treat people with the right amount of respect for their intelligence. What's the saddest, as I've watched this palaver go through, is that I do think that some of us in this dispute actually disrespect people's intelligence quite a lot. And I would never do that. All I want to do is make great music, get on stage and enjoy it with people who think like me, just so we can have a diversion from the roughness of our lives for a couple of hours and just descend to somewhere where we can go, wow, we're free, you know, and that's what it's all about. And then when that happens and we pack up, we have to go back to our lives. And I think that that little diversion helps you deal with the grittiness of life because it's tough. I think, and I would hope you appeal to people, you know, fans are much, they like the same music as I do. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, it's nice. I'd like to think I have a pretty good relationship with them. I think people are pretty good judges of character.
Good. Peter, thank you very much for your time.
Welcome, mate.
Once again.
See you in a year.
Yeah, see you in a year for volume four.
Oh, my God.
Cheers.
That thought has not crossed my bloody mind.
Won't you www.themouthmagazine.com.